It's time now for Community Circle, circling the things that matter for you and your neighbors. Community Circle is a service of Sierra H Broadcasting.
Hello and welcome to Community Circle. I am your host, Philip Amerine, and today we are talking to someone who is trying to help a group of people whose population reaches over 100,000 in Arizona alone. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what your name is, which organization you're with, and what your role is within the organization.
I'm John Myers. I'm the executive director of the ARC of Arizona.
All right. So let's start right there. What does the ARC stand for?
The ARC of Arizona is an organization that serves people statewide with intellectual and developmental disabilities, or what we in shorthand call IDD. The ARC, the name, and it's ARC. Many years ago, it stood for something very different. Right now, it's not initials for anything. It's just capital A, lowercase rc. The name today refers to the fact that we serve people over the arc of their lifetime, from cradle to grave, birth to death. We serve folks with IDD, regardless of the diagnosis. It could be Down syndrome, could be autism, could be cerebral palsy, fragile X, a whole host, about 150 or so different diagnoses that fall into this category, and they all are under the umbrella of the work that we do, and they're all people we represent. Many, many years ago, the organization primarily served people who had Down syndrome, and generally at that time, and this is, we're talking back in the 50s, these folks were generally referred to as being mentally retarded. And the organization started as the Association for Retarded Citizens, but that's not a term we use anymore,
right?
Because it's gotten some very negative connotations, and the word has been misused, and so it's one that we don't incorporate into our name anymore. We still use the same initials, ARC, but in a different sense and to mean something very different. And again, because of the people we serve, the breadth of the diagnoses that we represent is so much greater than when the organization started.
Right. It's a bigger umbrella, as I'm sure that the original founders did not foresee.
Absolutely. Yeah. As I say, it was primarily focused on kids who had Down syndrome. Today, it's representing literally millions of Americans with scores of different diagnoses and subdiagnoses.
All right. So let's get into those kinds of numbers. So how many people with intellectual or developmental disabilities, IDD, as you refer to it, live in Arizona specifically?
The best estimate that we and other organizations have been able to come up with is a little over 120,000 Arizonans have some kind of intellectual or developmental disability. And as I say, that can run the gamut from Down syndrome to autism to all fetal alcohol syndrome, a whole variety of different things. But right now, about 120,000, a little more than 120,000 Arizonans are living with some kind of IDD diagnosis.
What is the ARC of Arizona's mission, and how does the organization help Arizonans with IDD? Because that is a wide population to take care of.
Yes, it is. It's a very broad population. And our mission is to represent this population as advocates for their civil rights, as advocates for accessibility and inclusion in our communities, and as a voice for them in the halls of government. We are the ARC of Arizona, as a statewide organization, is primarily focused on advocacy and policy issues. So during the legislative term, we are very, very active at the Capitol, making sure that issues that are of importance to this population are brought to the attention of our lawmakers, that legislation that's being proposed that will in some way affect this population is either supported or opposed, as is appropriate for the folks that we serve. And we work with state agencies such as the Department of Economic Security and its Division of Developmental Disabilities. We work very closely with Access, which is the Medicaid provider for Arizona. Many of our people, in fact, the majority of folks who have an IDD diagnosis in Arizona rely upon Medicaid through Access for medical care, for habilitation, for a variety of different supports or services. And so we work very closely with those agencies and many others, Department of Health Services. I couldn't give you the entire list, but we work very closely with agencies across the state to ensure that programs, services, supports, personnel are provided at an adequate level to meet the needs of this population. And our mission, in a nutshell, is to promote and provide for the fullest possible inclusion of people with IDD in the communities around our state.
So would you say that that is what separates your organization from others who help with mental disabilities, that you work on the legislation side as well as in the field, you know, helping people personally?
Yes, we are among a relatively few organizations, a relatively small number of organizations whose focus is much more on policy and advocacy than it is on direct service. I should actually let the listeners know that the ARC operates at a number of different levels. I run the ARC of Arizona, which is our statewide chapter. There are also local chapters of the ARC in communities all around the state that are primarily direct service providers. And that means that on a day-to-day basis, they are offering employment programs or day treatment programs or housing opportunities or various other services to people with IDD throughout the course of the day. We make a distinction within our organization, and we are a national organization, but we make a distinction at the state level between state chapters and local chapters. So, for example, here in the Valley, the Chandler-Gilbert ARC or Tempe ARC are offering supports and services to individuals in a fashion that we don't offer. But we focus on the policy issues, we focus on advocacy issues, and generally the local chapters do not do that. The number of advocacy organizations around the state that serve people with IDD, as I say, is relatively small. Most, the vast majority, are service providers. And so, in a sense, we have to sort of play above our weight or fight above our weight when it comes to these issues because we're small in number, but we have to try and make up for that with persuasive arguments and appealing, in many cases, to the common sense and the compassion of those who make the laws.
And I want to get into some of the programs that you've talked about. But before we do that, what are some of your social media handles for those of our listeners who we've whet their appetites and they want to right now continue on and listen and scroll through Instagram or Twitter and follow along?
Well, we have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheArcOfArizona, the ARC of Arizona. Our Twitter handle is TheArcAZ, and that, at the moment, is the extent of our social media presence, but we also have a website, certainly, and that is www.arcarizona.org.
All right. Now, I visited your website, and I saw on there that you have job listings. As you mentioned earlier, you said that you have housing opportunities also on there from the local chapters. How did your organization come up with those kinds of services? Because that, to me, is genius that you would have job listings there, because I'd imagine that there's a definite need for those kind of services.
There is. And in fact, the kinds of jobs that are offered or the kinds of postings that we put up include not only things that are available to individuals we serve, individuals who have IDD, but also professionals in the field. At the moment, we don't have a huge listing of job opportunities for those professionals, but we try to keep some jobs up there as we're informed of them. I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but there's a tremendous need for people who can provide service and people who can give care to individuals with IDD. Special education, for example, is an area that often goes wanting in Arizona. There's a huge shortage of special ed teachers in school districts across the state. So that's just one example of ways in which people are in desperate need here in the state. We, on our website, we try to keep a list of some job opportunities, and then our local chapters are generally the ones who provide direct employment opportunities for the individuals they serve. It can take the form of what we call group-supported employment, enclaves, where groups of individuals at a particular agency will go out and work in the community and do a variety of different things. Could include landscaping, could include building maintenance, could include various things working in community centers. One of the things that we really promote as an organization, it's kind of fundamental to our philosophy, is that individuals with IDD who have a desire to work should be able to find an opportunity to work. Right. Historically, it hasn't always been the case. Historically, a lot of jobs have been off limits to people who have an intellectual or developmental disability. But the fact is, a great many of these people want to work. And more, fortunately, we're seeing that employers are entertained. They're absolutely open to the idea. So you'll see a great many people, like the people we serve, who work at local grocery stores, who work in coffee shops, who work in restaurants, things like that. One of the greatest things, and one of the things that we're most excited about is particularly with the population of people who have autism. Many, many people with autism are tremendously high functioning. They may have certain characteristics that are common to an autism diagnosis, but they are tremendously capable, tremendously enthusiastic, really want to work, but have had difficulty because of challenges with socialization, with fitting in with their peers and so forth. But one of the greatest things that's happening now is that in the high tech industry, more and more businesses such as Intel here in the Valley and SAP, a huge software developer, more businesses are looking at people with autism to perform very important tasks in their businesses because these individuals have tremendous ability to focus, they have a tremendous ability to stay on task, and they can look for minute details and essentially pick apart things or ensure that all of the details are in place. And it's a pretty exciting area of improvement when it comes to opportunity and employment opportunities for these people. And so we're very excited about that and very pleased to see that more employers are looking in that direction for their staff.
Yeah, that's great, actually, that you're flipping a negative into an absolute specialty and a positive that a lot of employers, I'm sure, the smart ones at least, are taking not advantage of, but taking a great opportunity to invest and help each other.
And you've used really, I think the critical word is they're investing. They're investing not only in their own businesses, but they're investing in individuals who, as I said, are enthusiastic about working, are highly motivated, are very loyal employees, and have the skills to do what the job requires. So it's benefiting everyone. It's benefiting the businesses and it's benefiting the individuals. And ultimately, because these folks become taxpayers as they are employed, it benefits society as a whole.
So what areas of the state does the ARC serve? I know you talked that you said that there was a Tempe chapter, locally at least, and that you kind of handle all of Arizona in the legislative branch.
Yes, the ARC of Arizona covers the entire state. We represent folks in every corner, and we try to stay in contact with people in every corner of the state pretty regularly. Our local chapters we have 12 local chapters around the state, and they include, you know, two here in the Valley, Tempe and Chandler Gilbert, a number in more rural areas. There's a chapter in Cottonwood, a chapter in Sierra Vista, Douglas, Nogales, Yuma, Globe.
You guys are going everywhere. That's
yes,
fantastic.
It is amazing. There's even a chapter, a very active chapter in Kearney that does great work with folks who live out in that area. So Kingman, we aren't in as many areas of the state as we would like on a local basis, but we have a pretty good representation. And I have to tell you, these chapters have, for the most part, been around 40, 50 years. Maybe even longer, and they have solid reputations in their communities and are doing fantastic work for the people they serve.
So then I have to ask you, what ways have you personally seen the ARC help people? Because there has to be something in order for you to continue that drive.
Absolutely. I see it every day. The folks that I interact with every day, the people who have been clients of our local chapters for 30 years, and literally there are these individuals who have been receiving services from a local chapter who have been going to that chapter's center 5 days a week for 30 years or in some cases more. These are people who are happy. They have a community they can interact with. They are brought out into the larger community by our local chapters. The day treatment programs get them involved in their communities. And it's not just things like going to the movies or going bowling. It's getting them involved in volunteer opportunities. It's getting them job opportunities. It's making sure that they are not secluded from the mainstream of life in Arizona cities and towns. It's making sure that they are included in everything that goes on.
So what are the most important issues facing this population right now?
Well, far and away, the most important issue that we're facing right now, and I don't want to make it a politically partisan issue, but the fact is that some of the proposals that are in front of Congress right now to vastly reduce Medicaid funding will have a drastic effect on the population we serve if those cuts are in fact put in place. The American Health Care Act, which is intended as a replacement for the Affordable Care Act, currently in the House version has more than $850 billion in cuts to Medicaid scheduled over the next 10 years. That is an almost unbelievable amount of money to cut from a program that serves so many millions of Americans and literally hundreds of thousands of people with IDD in Arizona and their family members. So if we see those kinds of cuts coming down the road, we know that people are going to lose services, and most importantly, people are going to lose health care. because so many, as I say, so many of these folks who have IDD rely upon Access, the Medicaid provider in Arizona, for healthcare. So we could see some pretty dramatic decreases in the healthcare available to our population with these cuts. Beyond that, the issue of employment. We want to continue to work with employers and expand the base of opportunities for people with IDD to get jobs in their communities. We want to ensure that they are included in their communities. Arizona is really fortunate in that we have only one publicly operated institution for people with IDD remaining in our state. It has fewer than 90 residents, and no more residents are being added. But in many states around the nation, there are still state-run institutions where people with an intellectual or developmental disability are essentially warehoused. They are secluded from society. They are placed into a facility where they really don't come into contact with the general public. They aren't included in the life of their society. We think that's criminal. We think that's really an injustice to them. If we continue to see dramatic cuts in government funding for supports and services for what are called home and community-based services, we will probably revert to a system where more and more people have to be institutionalized because the funds won't be there to provide community to provide services where they live in the community. The intent will then be to centralize where people live so that these funds can be more efficiently spent. And when I say that, I use the word efficiently, that's a term that would be applied to those who support institutionalization. In our opinion, funds are much more efficiently spent serving people in the community where they live because it involves them in the life of the community. It improves their quality of life. It assists their family members, their other caregivers, and it generally makes us a stronger society.
Yeah, it's the humanization of really seeing somebody and knowing that where they are, they can be a boon there, as opposed to having to force people to go places that they don't want to and forcing them to go into institutions that I'm sure otherwise they may not be well equipped to handle.
No, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. And Arizona is actually the nation's leader in supporting people in their communities. There's an annual study that's done by United Cerebral Palsy. It's called the Case for Inclusion, and it ranks the states 1 through 50 plus the District of Columbia on how well they serve people through home and community-based services and how inclusive the environment is for people with IDD in those states. For 5 years running, Arizona has been ranked number one.
Wow.
We have one of the best service systems in the nation. We have one of the most community-focused service systems in the nation, and that's because Access, our Medicaid provider, and the Division of Developmental Disabilities do a tremendous job focusing on that, focusing their resources on that. They are very cost-effective and efficient organizations, and we applaud them for that. The flip side of that is that if funds start being taken away or if caps start being placed on how much a state has to spend on these services, we could see a very dramatic change in Arizona's ability to continue doing that.
So then what are some upcoming activities people can get involved with?
Well, the one that is, to us, it's one of the most exciting and we think one of the most impactful programs that we do, and it's actually coming up in early October. We call it Wings for Autism. It's a program we do with American Airlines and Southwest Airlines and Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. Basically, it's what we call an airport rehearsal, and it's primarily focused on kids who have autism and kids who have other forms of an intellectual or developmental disability as well, but who have had difficulty traveling by air in the past. It can be a very, very stressful experience. For kids, especially with autism, traveling through the airport, because there are all those sights and sounds and new people and people moving very fast and lots of change on a constant basis. And for many people with autism, they're very sensitive to their sensory environment. They're very sensitive to change and often can't accommodate quick change.
Structure.
Yes, structure is often very important. So The Wings for Autism program is, as I say, it's an airport rehearsal. It allows them to go through every step of the air travel process, from arriving at the airport to checking in, going through security, going to the airline's gate, and then actually boarding an airplane and taxiing around the airport for about 45 minutes, and then coming back to the gate and disembarking. It gives them every aspect of the air travel experience short of actually leaving the ground. We've been doing this we're going into our fourth year now. We've served close to 750 people in those 3 years, and we'll probably surpass 1,000 this year. And what this program has done, we do it here in Arizona. We have actually the largest program in the nation at Sky Harbor because we use two airlines and two airplanes at the same time. It's being done across the country as well, and what it's doing is it's literally changing the lives of these kids who otherwise either have had absolutely no ability to travel by air or have had really bad experiences traveling by air. Because we do it in a very low low-stress environment. We let them walk through the process at their own pace. The folks from the airlines and the airport are tremendous partners to work with, very supportive. We make it a fun experience, and we introduce them to all these sights and sounds and so forth, and help them overcome the fears and the discomfort they feel when they're in an environment like that. We've gotten testimonials from families who tell us that, as I say, it was literally life-changing. It allowed them to travel by air, to go on vacations, to go see family, to get medical treatment, to, you know, whatever the need is, in a way that they've never been able to before. So we love this program. It's open. It's free of charge. We do have a capacity limit, but if anyone wants more information, they can certainly contact me, and I'd be happy to share with them. We start registration for the program on July 1st. We also do an annual conference that is focused on providing resources to family members who are the primary caregivers of individuals with IDD. We bring in experts from across the country as well as here in the state of Arizona, and we do a day-long conference that focuses on important topics such as health and wellness, such as education and transition services, employment programs, a variety of things. And again, it's focused on giving resources to family members who otherwise may have had difficulty navigating the system or may have had difficulty locating the resources on their own. And then we do an event in the spring that we call the Sprout Film Festival. And it's Sprout singular. It's not affiliated with the Sprouts farmers markets in any way. But it's in collaboration with an organization called Sprout out of New York City. And it's a day-long film festival that features roughly 35 or so films that are all about people with IDD. Some of them are actually made by individuals who have IDD, but they all, and there are a variety of films. There are documentaries, there are narratives, there's animation, a whole variety of things. And this festival, in the 3 years we've been doing it, has grown from about 150 members of the audience to last year almost 900 audience members. The films are wonderful. Some of them are very short, 2 minutes. Some of them are a little bit longer, 15 or 20 minutes. But we break it up into three different screenings throughout the day, and people who've never seen these films before always come out afterward and tell us that they had no idea these films existed, and they had no idea how enjoyable it could be to watch a series of films that focus on the lives of these really incredible individuals who are athletes and artists and actors and doing all kinds of amazing things with their lives. So those are three big activities. As I mentioned earlier, we're very, very active during the legislative session as well. And we are always in need of folks to advocate, to join with us, collaborate in advocating to the legislature on issues that are important to the IDD population. So particularly family members, those who have loved ones with a developmental disability, people who have stories to tell, because stories are very effective and very impactful. And so if somebody wants to become involved with the Arc of Arizona, we can find a way to help them. We can find a way to include them in the work we do.
You know, the beautiful thing about this show, Community Circle, is not only the people that come to the show to share what they're passionate about in the way that they find best to help their community and what have you, it's finding out the things that you don't know that you don't know. It's knowing that in Wings for Autism, that I'm sure what a bunch of people take for granted as they go throughout their daily lives, and, you know, some people travel for vacation, some people travel for business, some people travel for this and that, not even realizing that there are some people who have a true disability to even just have that basic mundane something that we take for granted. And it's learning things like that that really help you appreciate just how much some people do to help those without. And I think that that's just a beautiful thing.
Well, thanks very much. I mean, we agree. And I don't want to pat our organization on the back too much, because quite honestly, we facilitate it, but it's the people at the airport, it's the people at the airlines, it's the TSA folks who are so great to work with. And I know that's probably not ringing true to a lot of people, but TSA doesn't get a lot of...
They're like, really? But...
Yeah, TSA didn't get a lot of love, but they sure are great partners to work with on us. It's the sponsors of that event who help us make it possible, because they help pay for it. You know, it's all of these people who have a commitment to serving these kids, serving their family members, and as you say, making a difference in their lives. You know, it's amazing to me. It's why I work in this field, because there is so much appreciation for the need, and there is so much desire to help throughout our communities, and it's pretty inspiring to see.
And it's such a gratifying feeling to know that you have truly impacted somebody's life in a positive manner.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Finally, who should a person contact if they need assistance or would like to learn more about the ARC?
I would be the person to contact at the ARC of Arizona. I guess there are a number of ways to do that. Certainly, you can find my contact information on our website. Again, ARC Arizona, arcarizona.org. I'm happy to give my phone number if anybody would like to call me. I can be reached at 602-290-1632 or by email at john@arcarizona.org. Any of those ways will work, but the website is always there as a fallback if that information isn't captured. So we're delighted to help. If people want more information on our programs, if they'd like to get involved with any of our events or with our advocacy work, please contact me. If people would like to help support us financially, we are a nonprofit organization, so we are always in need of public support. We have a number of ways that people can give through memberships or through general donations or through project-specific donations. All of those are quite gratefully accepted.
You know, we've had quite a few people come on the show, and I must say you're the first person to give out a number for people to contact at large. So you're a very brave man, and that's how I know you're dedicated to this.
Well, it's what we do. It's what we dedicate our lives to, and I'll tell you what, anybody wants to contact me, I'm more than happy to talk with them.
All right, thank you so much for coming on the show, John.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Circling the things that matter for you and your neighbors. Community Circle is a service of Sierra H Broadcasting.